tell you what, an event that has no problem in getting eyeballs here locally is the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. Absolutely love it. And, you know, it features, it's so cool because it features local talent, local basketball talent here in mid-Michigan that have either played high school here or have some sort of local ties and gone on to play college ball somewhere, D2, D3, at JUCOs, who knows, and even a few pros from here and there. Kay Felder of the Cleveland Cavaliers is playing on the team right now at the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. I remember last year, Jabari Parker was in the house from the Milwaukee Bucks. That was really cool to see him and Nick Wart go at it on the court. So it's so cool because you see an array of basketball talent under one roof. And it's a free event. Desmond Ferguson, who is actually the founder of Moneyball Sportswear, this is Desmond's baby. And, you know, it's amazing to me because it is a free event. And I look around sometimes when I'm near on a Tuesday and Thursday and say, man, if I could just get a dollar from everybody up in here right now, I'm going to Vegas, brother. You know, it's amazing, though. It's great for the community and highlights galore. Not a lot of defense being played. It's summer ball, but it's so fun. And you know what? Last week, I'm still kicking myself about this because last week, it was pretty hype, and you can argue that it was probably the best night in Moneyball history. Isaac, you were there, weren't you?
I was.
Gosh, man. I left early because I wanted to put together a story centered on Tori Jankowska. I believe this was on Thursday, right? Last week, Thursday. I wanted to put together a story on Tori Jankowska, who played in the early game, the second game of the day. And I get back to the station, and I'm looking online, and I saw two moments that really caught my eye. One was, of course, how the game ended, right? Miles Bridges off a missed layup from Boo Man, Frederick Edmondson.
Edmonds.
He put back to win the game. But even before that, there was a slam on Josh Langford that had me jump up off my office seat. Like, what? I watched it probably five times. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, who is that? And, you know, I saw underneath the caption, it was a kid by the name of James Brown, who is a local hoop product, who actually has now just joined us here in studio, along with his father, Matthew Brown, who's a dear friend of Current Sports, and it's always good seeing him. And Isaac, I want to ask, did you see that dunk in person when it happened?
Yeah.
What were your initial thoughts? Did you think Josh was going to get crammed on like that?
No, well, I saw Josh yesterday, and he looked like he
looked
had a point to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, he was mad still from Thursday. So, I mean, that's just how it goes. But you saw it for a second, and then you saw everybody jump up and totally block your view. That's how it went. When it happened, stadium went down.
For sure. There was a lot of buzz at the AIM High Sports Complex out in Diamonddale, Michigan. Well, to talk about that dunk and so much more is James Brown himself, along with his father, Matthew Brown. First off, gents, thanks so much for joining us on Current Sports today. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Always good having you guys. Now, James, this is your first time on the show, and I want to talk about that moment, though. I mean, when you were on the break, it was a fast break dunk, right? When you were on the break, when did you have in your mind, when did it click that, all right, I'm going to try to put this down on somebody?
Yeah, well, right off the break, I just had the instant feeling just go up and, you know, cram it, put on a show for the crowd. So, you know, he jumped and, you know, it happened. So he's a great player, by the way. So.
And it looked like, Josh, it looked like he tried to block it,
mm-hmm.
but you somehow got around on his right side and slammed it. And then I love it because I love trash talking in sports. As many people who tune into Current Sports know, I do. A moment like that, you kind of stared at him after you crammed it on him. That was, but you guys have to have a close relationship in order to do something like that, though, right?
Not really, but, you know, just the competitiveness of the sport, you know, it's all in fun.
In the moment, right?
Yes, in the moment.
James, you are a sophomore, or just completed your sophomore season, am I correct?
Completed my freshman season.
Your freshman season.
Yep.
So you're going into your sophomore
mm-hmm.
season.
Yep.
You balled at a junior college, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
LA Tech, out in California. You're going into your sophomore year now. You ball out for Team Blue at the Moneyball. For those that don't know much about your basketball background as it pertains to Mid-Michigan, can you kind of take us through what your career has been like dating back to high school?
Yeah, well, before then, you know, I was kind of like a two-sport athlete, so I was mainly doing football, but, you know, I always had a passion for basketball, always a ball in my hand, so I got into AAU a little bit, not in the circuit, so I was a little unknown a little bit, but, you know, I was still in it, and I went to Lansing Everett. I played there. I was on the 2015 team.
Jamiron Jackson and company?
Jamiron, nice. Trevor and all them. Yeah, so we did good from there. And then I went out to a prep school out in New Jersey right before I went to Trade Tech.
Gotcha.
And did my thing out there.
What position did you play when you played football? I'm curious.
I played wide receiver and safety.
Right, I figured that, right? Matt, you being the father of James, I want to just talk about the athletic prowess of your son and when you first saw something in him that he could play college ball, whether that be in football or basketball.
One of the funny things about my son is I had a rule. You have to earn the right to have your dad show up to your game.
Really?
Yeah. So many parents will just show up for mediocrity, and they'll look at their kids and like, oh, he sat on the bench the whole time. Why do I want to go see my son sit on the bench? I said, son, if you want me to come to your games, you're going to earn the playing time, irregardless of how the coach may feel about you or think you can perform. You have to show him, and he did. And then I started coming to his games. And pretty much the rest is history.
So Matt, you wouldn't go to his games until he started to get some adequate playing time in either one of those sports, right?
Yeah, I feel playing time is reflective of your attitude and your work ethic when you're in practice.
Right.
So I don't care whatever a coach may feel or how a coach may think. You can force a coach to pay attention to you by your work ethic.
When your dad first made that statement to you, James, that I'm not coming to your games until you start showing something and really giving me a reason to come to those games, what were your first initial thoughts? Because I'm sure you had teammates whose parents showed up just to show up, to support them in general. Right. What were your thoughts when you heard him say that?
Let's go get it.
Just
in the gym every day, you know, I pride myself on the blue-collar attitude. So I get it from him, just working hard every day, trying to get him there, so.
So you weren't mad about that at all,
no,
right?
I wasn't mad, no.
Matt, what do you say to parents out there who are listening to something like that and saying, well, it's still my kid. I want to support them regardless of how they're doing out there on the court or the field.
Well, I say this. I say then you probably won't have a child that will actually play in Moneyball's league and dunk on Langford and still have that mental stability. And what I say is a lot of parents don't really allow their children to work for it, you know? And I wanted my son to work for it. If this is what you really want, you have to work for it. You just can't go to practice and be part-time. You have to go there and show them 100% as best that you can up to your abilities. And because that's what I want to come see. No one wants to watch a basketball game where people are playing terrible.
Right.
I don't even watch the All-Star game in the NBA anymore because all they're doing is these super dunks and everybody's passing and then you're throwing it. It's not even basketball to me.
It's not. It's a free-for-all, really. And I think there's a lot of things that need to be changed when it comes to the NBA's All-Star weekend, right? James, for you, the grind of trying to make a Division I basketball roster. Right now, you are playing junior college ball out in L.A. for L.A. Tech.
Yep.
You want to, of course, transfer and play Division I ball. Right. That's still in your horizon. That's that's the goal.
Yeah.
When going through that kind of route to D1 basketball, what has it taught you? And has it gotten frustrating at times?
Oh, yeah, it has, definitely. But, you know, I just want to keep my dream in mind. You know, I have a dream just to play on the next level and further from there, you know? And what I got from that is just, you know, just to play hard, you know, and, you know, go through it as just having fun with the process. Just go through the process having fun. That's all you can do in that.
What's been the most frustrating part, if at all?
Somewhat just like, you know, sometimes you just feel like you're getting put back a little bit, you know, with like with, like, you know, going through JUCO, you know, not highly recruited out of high school. So it kind of pushes you back a little bit, but you just got to keep looking forward and just chase your dream.
Which schools were looking at you right out of high school?
Right out of high school?
Right. Were there any D1 schools or mostly D2, D3 JUCOs?
A little bit of some JUCOs and some D2s.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah. Matt, you're very involved in, of course, the process of, you know, helping your son, being there for your son, and letting him know what you think about which routes he should take and trying to make that goal of playing Division I basketball come true. Your role as a father in this whole thing, what kind of advice have you given James in this process?
Well, I told him, one is politics are involved in everything. Number two is, at the end of the day, it boils down to how bad you want it. And you can't let anyone take that dream away from you. Some of the best talent has come from people who they felt shouldn't play at a certain level or couldn't play at a certain level. Mm-hmm. Those are some of our best athletes in history, right? Because they have that determination, that drive. And, you know, one of the things as a parent is you want your child to pursue their dreams. You want them to reach their goals. But then you also got to understand it is a business part of the equation. Mm-hmm. So fortunately for him, you know, his dad's in business, so he can.
That's
he
a good thing, right, James?
He can help him navigate through some of those business elements. But I think he's got the attention of a lot of D1 schools now, and the goal is to then help him navigate through that process.
We were just talking during the break, and James, you feel pretty confident that possibly this upcoming basketball season that you could possibly play for a D1 school, right?
Well, I feel very confident, very confident.
Is there a school, I'm going to put you on the spot really briefly here, and you can answer it how you want to answer okay. it. Is there a school that you would like to play for at the top of the list?
Not really. I just feel like I can play at any team. You know, I feel like I can give a certain spark and a certain grit and an intensity to any team, you know, and help them and improve.
How would you describe your game? For those that have never seen you play, never been out to Moneyball, don't know anything about James Brown, how would you describe your game on the basketball court?
Hardworking, even outside, like in the gym, just hardworking. You know, that's how I've always been. I always stand out because I'm such a hard worker.
What's the best part of your game?
Probably being aggressive, attacking the rim.
You like attacking the rim?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Matt, I want to go back to what you just talked about, the politics, the business of basketball. Specifically, what do you mean when discussing that as it relates to the basketball journey of your son?
Well, you know that I always felt this way, even when I was young, though, that we haven't seen the best players play. A lot of times, a lot of things will happen, whether they have a lack of mentorship, whether they have an inability to kind of navigate their way through situations, or whether they are involved in an industry riddled with nepotism. Mm-hmm. I just think that helping him navigate through that, it's really a huge web. You know, it's an eye-opening experience to get into the inner circle of how this thing works.
Right.
I mean, it really is. And so I think one of my passions after I get him placed is one of my passions is to help put together a team that can help just kids who want to. It's really I want people who love what they do. Mm-hmm. I want to support those folks.
Exactly.
Because I'm tired of seeing sports where people are just walking back to huddles and
complacent, just right?
Yeah, I don't. Who wants to watch that?
Right.
Yeah, I can watch myself do that.
Exactly.
So I want to see people who really want to show passion and integrity to a game, and I think that's my mission is to help parents who have those type of children. I call them the blue diamonds.
Right.
Blue diamonds is the most precious diamond in the world, and it's the rarest diamond, and so. I'm looking for blue diamonds. I'm going to help parents get their blue diamonds exposed.
I love that. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Matthew and James Brown. Matthew, of course, is the father of James. James, a baller for a JUCO college, LA Tech out in Los Angeles, California. He'll be entering his sophomore season. You can catch him Tuesdays and Thursdays in Diamonddale, Michigan at the AIM High Sports Complex, balling out for Team Blue. James, when you hear your father talk about the business aspect of things, specifically in experiencing those hurdles, if you will, what are they? Is it playing time? Is it exposure? What have you dealt with?
I think it's a little of all of it, you know. I have an appreciation for, like, the AAU teams and all those, like, growing up. They get a lot of kids into a lot of schools, mm-hmm. you know. But outside of that, some of the kids that are outside the bubble, that's where a lot of the politics and all that comes in and what I had to deal with a little bit. So dealing with that, yeah, that's probably what that is.
You talk about being outside that bubble. We actually had a conversation, Isaac and I, mm-hmm. earlier this week. I'm not a big fan of AAU basketball.
Yeah,
I think it's hurt the game in many regards. You talk about a business. I mean, these teams are Nike teams, are Adidas teams, are Under Armour teams. And for a kid, now, don't get me wrong. I mean, some of the creme de la creme high school basketball players are going to get recruited regardless. But some of those who may be really good basketball players but don't have the money to possibly hop on one of those schools are left outside of that bubble. Mm-hmm. Is AAU hurting the game, James?
I think it has its ups and downs, its benefits, and then its drawbacks. I think it's helping, but I think we need to do more to AAU, you know, help all the kids, you know, get some of the inner city kids out there and mm-hmm. Some of the kids that, you know, don't have the right connections and try to find them, help them, put them into the circuits.
Did you play AAU ball?
Yeah, I did.
For which team?
A little bit of Michigan Titans, but that was outside the circuit.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. That's outside the big circuit, if you mm-hmm. will, right? Matt, you and I talked on the phone pretty elaborately earlier this week mm-hmm. on the AAU system. Mm-hmm. Is it? I'm going to ask the same question to you. Is it hurting youth basketball?
Yes. I mean, it's hurting youth basketball from a parent's perspective. Because unless you play with a sponsored team, it's a tremendous expense. And that's why I say we're not seeing the best talent. So I think there should be an environment where talent is showcased. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like the Moneyball showcase, because it really showcases a talent. You don't have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars. You don't have to have a big sponsor to get you in there. Who wouldn't like that dunk and that look back?
You know what I mean?
That's just raw passion and talent. So I think from an AAU perspective, it's starting to diminish.
Right.
And you're seeing the same, what I call mega alignments of players. You get LeBron James' son, and LeBron basically picks the kids that play with his son's team. You start that mega alignment, you really don't then create an environment for players to become great.
Right. So true. Stick around, guys. I want to hit our second break, guys. Again, I want to come back and finish up our chat with James and Matthew, and I want to chat with James a bit about his mental approach to every Tuesday and Thursday in the Moneyball Summer League. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to put a bow on today's current sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We are chatting with youth basketball player James Brown, who's a baller from Lansing, Michigan, who plays JUCO ball out at LA Tech in Los Angeles, California. Also, his dad, Matthew Brown, a dear friend of the show, is live here in Studio S with us. You can catch James playing in the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am each and every Tuesday and Thursday. We only have about 3 minutes left here, James, but, you know, we discussed in segment B just your approach and how you are trying to impress Division One schools out there to say, hey, you need to look at me and I want to play for your program. You're trying to make mm-hmm. that leap this upcoming basketball year. So for you, I mean, this isn't just a normal loosey-goosey pickup game on a Tuesday or Thursday in front of fans, right? You're taking mm-hmm. this very seriously.
Yeah, definitely have a chip on my shoulder, you know, going to everything and try to push as hard as I can, you know, try to make an impact. When I got on the court, you know, I want to be known. So
who are you closest with when it comes to the when you look at each roster of every team? Who are you the closest with from anybody from the Moneyball League?
I'm close with a lot of those guys. You know, over the years I built friendships with them and stuff. But a lot of guys from high school, definitely.
Like who?
Like Jamarion last night.
Right.
Daquan Hudson, Trevor Manuel, that's my guy. Like those guys. So.
And you know we have Trevor coming on the show actually next week, and you know Trevor he's going through his own basketball journey. Everybody has a story, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
He transferred from Oregon, went to Cali, and now he's trying to. I think he's making another transfer now. But when talking with him mm-hmm. about his journey and your journey respectively,
right.
What's it like? Where is Trevor Manuel's mental right now?
I think he's in a good place. You know, we talk a lot, and I think he's making the best decisions for him, you know, as best he can. He's been through some stuff, and he's really pushing to, you know, make it to that next level. And I respect him a lot. I respect
Definitely.
Him a lot, yeah.
I'm looking forward to picking his brain next week. And, you know, Matt, it's something interesting that, you know, we only have about 2 minutes here, but I want to bring up this because when we were on the phone, we chatted about, you know, the whole, I feel like the year old now, old hat conversation about whether or not college athletes should be paid. And you propose an interesting solution to that combo. Would you mind pushing that through?
Well, the motivation comes from Izzo made a, it was last year actually, Izzo made a statement about kids don't want to stay for 4 years anymore. One of the things I felt that the NCAA should do and push is they should try to get, they should have like a pension plan. You don't have to pay them while they're there, but have a pension plan for them if they finish their 4 years, and later on in life, that's something that they can draw on. And so I really think with some, you know, with a little business savvy thought process, I think the NCAA can figure this out for our young guys.
I think that's interesting. So if they do finish 4 years, they have something to fall back on as far as a retirement plan, because a lot of these pro players go into the league and they file bankruptcy within like 5 to 7 years, if that, right? Because they don't know how to manage their money. So I think that's a very interesting solution. Well, James, you're playing Thursday, right?
Absolutely.
You know who against yet?
No, I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Well, maybe we can see another cram like you did on Josh Langford last week, right?
Absolutely.
What was the real briefly, under a minute left, but right. What was the reaction from fans when that thing went viral? Did your Twitter blow up?
Yeah, it blew up. Yeah, it was crazy. Just being out on the court after that, it was nice.
What a moment it was. Yeah. We'll be out there on the court tomorrow night. Again, you can catch the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am each and every Tuesday and Thursday. Games start at 5:30. James, Matt Brown, thank you guys so much. We got to have you on soon again. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.